Idleman Unplugged is part of the Edify Podcast Network.
I want to see your face pass me by the crowds of people, the priest who sing your praise.
Hello, my name is Shane Idleman, and I'm the pastor of Westside Christian Fellowship in Leona Valley, California. It is my personal heart and goal for you to see truth through a biblical perspective. I hope that you enjoy this segment of Idleman Unplugged.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Idleman Unplugged. I am your host, Luke Duncan, and on this episode of the podcast, Janet Mefford hosts Pastor Shane to discuss Christian courage. We hope that you enjoy this segment of Idleman Unplugged.
I hunger and thirst for your righteousness, and it's only found.
Welcome, everybody. More than 18 months after the pandemic was declared, a new Pew Research Center study has found that 49% of church-going evangelicals are back in person at churches that are COVID-19 restriction-free. Now, this is a good trend, especially when we consider how hard churches have had to fight in court going back to last year just to stay open to the same degree as abortion clinics or liquor stores. And while we are thankful for those churches, how many will be ready for the next totalitarian challenge that this pandemic may present? What will we do about cancel culture or vaccine mandates if they cause us to lose our jobs? What if big tech or academia or the government crack down even harder on Christians? We don't know what the future will hold, but these days the ground is shifting fast and it is hard to know what may be in our future. One thing is for sure, though, we are to be people of courage. 1 Corinthians says, be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, be courageous, be strong. Are we being courageous as the Church of Jesus Christ today? We're going to talk about it with Shane Idleman, who is the founder and lead pastor of Westside Christian Fellowship in California. And he is out with a new article based on one of his recent sermons, The Battle for Courage, A Hill to Die On. And it's great to welcome you back. Shane, how have you been?
Janet, it's great to be on. I've been doing good out here in California, just like you mentioned, fighting the good fight of faith and trying to make a difference.
Good for you. Well, we're proud to have you here. And I know you and I talked quite a bit during the pandemic about courage, and you took a stand very early on. So you're one of those courageous Christians. Why do you think that this subject of courage is so important for the church to address right now?
I think because it's easy to talk about, but hard to do.
Yes.
You know, courage, and that's what the article really focuses on. Courage comes from a prepared heart. You know, the old saying, we play like we practice, or we fight like we prepare. So it's hard to muster it up if it's not going on internally, preparing the heart, setting our hearts on Christ and reading God's word and being prayed up. And really, courage is an outflow of what we're putting on inside. So when we see a lot of these churches not being courageous, it's because they're not being filled with God's spirit. It's a spirit of boldness and courage.
Yeah. What would you say the battles are right now that require courage from the church? I mentioned things like cancel culture and things like the vaccine mandates, which are cropping up and people are scared of losing their jobs. Are there other issues that you are seeing on the horizon or right now happening that require courage from Christians? And how are we doing on those fronts?
Well, you hit on two hot buttons right there, because I'm in Southern California and in Los Angeles County. So we have a lot of the mandates are being pushed. Members of our church, from Northrop Grumman to working with the federal government to NASA to the school districts, everyone is being pushed. And so a lot of my time is being spent on helping them with their religious exemption letters or talking to their employers. And it's taking a tremendous amount of courage, because when your job's on the line, not too many people can go from, you know, making a living to nothing within a few weeks.
Yeah.
The notices they're giving them, that without pay, they'll put them on leave. And so just that's why I gave that sermon on Wednesday night, and so many people were encouraged. So we're seeing it there. We're seeing it on, you know, depending on the view on the vaccines, of course, there's differing views, but the pushing and the mandating is absolutely not biblical.
Yeah.
And so standing up for that, and really what's big in my area is the CRT, critical race theory.
Right.
And the governor is wanting that to be taught in the public schools, and the big push for the LGBTQ agenda. It's just an onslaught. It can really actually be overwhelming.
Yep.
if you're not staying, you know, buried in God's word and broken and humble and filled with the Spirit. So I would say on all fronts, from theology and a strong theological view, because a lot of churches are continuing to drift. And you will see if they get caught up in the CRT and these different things that are really anti-biblical, they will start to drift in other areas as well. So Christians and pastors being courageous in all of these areas.
Well, you mentioned a number of very important areas, and you're right about all of them. And I don't think anybody is feeling the pressure as much as the people on the coasts, particularly California. You know, here I am in Texas, and it's not nearly as draconian as it is in California. So God bless you. What would you say is the Christian's response, specifically in California, to the issue of the vaccine mandates? You have people, obviously, as you mentioned, getting religious exemption letters together, submitting those to their employers. Hopefully they'll be able to have those granted so they can keep their jobs. Is there any organized pushback by Christians in particular against the vaccine mandates, or what is the status there?
Yeah, I was just out with a large group with Norman Grumman, and we met at 4:30 in the morning till 7:30 in the morning. I mean, cars parked about a mile long.
Wow.
And just people outside and protesting, and moms for California going to the school districts and standing up and making a difference. And there is a lot of pushback, and courage is contagious. It really is when you see a man or woman standing up for what is right. I believe recently the airline just capitulated or caved in, I should say, and are not requiring the vaccinations for their pilots.
Yep.
And so we do see that tipping Amtrak could be next. And so it's just that I think, but the key to what you asked is, the truth is going to offend, but our attitude shouldn't. Hmm. In other words, I think we can be very bold, but very loving. And it's the bombastic, prideful, in your face that can really do damage. So you have to just stand courageous and say, not on my watch, especially what they're doing to the children, mandating it here in California. I don't know about where you're at with all kids in the school districts.
Nope, not here.
California.
Yeah.
And so, you know, this is a big deal. We don't know the ramifications long-term of this type of messenger RNA. And so it's on all fronts, and it can get exhausting. And that's why, believe it or not, we're actually meeting at our church every night next week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, even on Halloween night. We're just having worship services
Great.
The entire week
wow.
in the evening. So people are coming from all over to be part of that. And so it's just courage is contagious. And our kids are watching us. And if you read the article, I talked about courage is caught
yep.
more than it's taught. You really can't teach it unless you're going to live mm-hmm. it. And kids are watching how parents are responding to all that's going on.
Yeah, that's right. I think there's so much wisdom in what you said about courage being caught, because even there in California, you watched how the churches that stepped out to say we need to be open. We can't have the government shutting down the church for an extended period of time when it's allowing abortion clinics and liquor stores to be open. And that seemed to be a courage that was caught by other churches. They were emboldened. They were made more brave because those first Christians were stepping out, and we won a lot of court cases yeah. over time. So that's encouraging. When we go to God's Word, Shane, you mentioned that there are some examples of a battle plan for being courageous from the book of 2 Chronicles. Can you speak to that?
Yeah, I want to even address what you just mentioned with the courage, because all of us were feeling it, but it wasn't until like Jack Hibbs reached out to me, and then we got, you know, Rob McCoy was already involved, and yep. then John MacArthur, were all within an hour, hour and a half. And so that was contagious, because
yeah.
you realize you're not just here, you know, by yourself on this island.
Right.
And that was very motivating, knowing what was sad, though, is we had one conference call. I don't know, 180 church pastors here in California, and not very many actually opened.
Hmm.
So we kind of felt like, uh-oh, you know, we got to get some momentum going here.
Yeah.
But yeah, the battle plan from the, thank God, God doesn't leave us without knowledge of how to handle these things. It's very important, and I was just looking at 2 Chronicles, and I gleaned from that you prepare your heart. You know, one of the key principles in spiritual battle is preparing your heart, knowing there's going to be ups and downs, knowing the fight is going to be difficult. And you build courage by strengthening yourself in the Lord, by spending time in His Word, obeying His Word, praying and fasting and worshiping. And then you stay focused on that goal, stay focused on Christ, and allow the Holy Spirit to fill you. And I think that's the key ingredient. And also we know that one of the kings there in 2 Chronicles, I've got so many on my mind here, actually won the battle through worship.
Mm.
I think it was Hezekiah went in just worshiping, and just God defeated his armies. And so that position of the heart, which is really the missing ingredient, I'm sure you love in the Bible like I do, the courage of the Old Testament prophets is amazing.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, no matter what they said, they're going to jail or they're going to be killed or something. So yeah. Anyway, it sounds like we have to take a break.
And yep, we do. Hang on, Shane. We'll come back to you. Shane Eidelman with us on Janet Mefford Today. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Janet Mefford Today. And now, here's Janet.
Be strong and courageous. We often will turn to various verses about courage when we are feeling a little bit low. And those make us feel better because we understand that God is sovereign and he is in control and we belong to him. And no matter what happens on this earth, we will look forward to being with him. And that's a sure thing. Christ is ruling and reigning and he shall reign forever and ever. And that's a wonderful thing to keep in mind. Shane Eidelman is with us, pastor at Westside Christian Fellowship in California. He's out with a new article based on a sermon that he recently gave called The Battle for Courage, A Hill to Die On. We were talking about this issue of courage. You mentioned the Old Testament prophets, which makes me really want to go off on a tangent, but I want to try to keep on this subject. But I just love the Old Testament prophets, so that was good. You hit a good nerve in that way with me. Talk about that, because boy, they had courage. Jeremiah had courage, Isaiah had courage, on and on and on. The minor prophets had courage. What can we learn from those Old Testament prophets in our own day?
Well, we probably share the same desire. Is that's exactly what America needs, is those prophetic voices.
Yep.
That voice crying in the wilderness, that voice that God's word is burning in my heart like a fire. I can't hold it back. And so the bottom line, what made them so bold without a shadow of a doubt, God's word burning in their heart, was because they were filled with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
The boldness comes from that surrendered life. They surrendered their entire life to God. God's spirit came upon them. And they were able to speak boldly. So that's a missing ingredient. If we think we're going to spend 3 hours on Netflix and watch ungodly media and be influenced by CNN and then speak boldly to our culture about God's word, we are gravely mistaken, especially pastors. Who they are all week is who they're going to be when they step to the pulpit, quoting Tozer.
Right.
It's what we fill our mind with and our heart with throughout the week. So I think that's a missing ingredient. So many, and I love pastors. I have a heart for pastors. I'm not trying to, but so many are just fearful. They're capitulating. They think Romans 13 means do whatever the government says. And, you know, the recent surveys are showing that a lot of them are not spending much time in prayer. They're just too busy. And so if you're too busy for God, you're too busy. And boldness comes from that relationship. The more filled you are with God's Spirit, the more time in his word, the more time with him, intimacy, time alone, the more bold you will be. It's just a byproduct of that time with God.
It is. Shane, it seems very counterintuitive that you would have to advise Christians to do basic things like reading and studying the word of God, or praying or fasting or worshiping God or having fellowship with the Lord. Where have we gone off the rails? That I know this has been true from the beginning of time, that God's people will drift and backslide, and this is not anything new. But what does that say about the health of the American evangelical scene? That we have to see churches who are too scared to open, or we see Christians who are not spending time in God's word, but boy, they know everything on Instagram. What is ailing us?
Well, and you actually hit the nail on the head with you know, when Israel was divided in southern northern kingdoms, they experienced, 50, 60 years of financial prosperity and ease and comfort. And, you know, our blessing, if we're not careful, will become a curse, because God has blessed us to such a degree that we've kind of rested in that. And it is challenging to seek God. I mean, revival, spiritual awakening has a cost. The cost is dying to self. The cost is seeking God. The cost is pressing in. The cost is holding. Remember, I used to read books from 100 years ago. They would have prayer meetings. They'd say, God finally answered. God finally came. We pulled down heaven. You know, they were willing to do what it took to experience that power and presence in their life. But today, it's difficult, so we have to fight against the flesh. It's comfort. It's convenient. We're looking to be pleasing men instead of pleasers of God. And the more we unfortunately drift from him and his word, the more cowardly we're going to become. So I don't know if that quite answered it, but I think that's what's happening. Is it's a rare breed of a person who can, you know, just cry out to God, discipline themselves, and seek Him like never before in this type of environment where we're affluent and it's ease. You go to, we have contacts, which I'm sure you do too, in the underground church in China. They would be embarrassed at our church services.
Yes.
Friday at 4 a.m, they're meeting for 3 hours for prayer and being arrested. And so I think the blessings of America has created a kind of an incubator for laziness and cowardliness and not wanting to press in. But now that you're seeing the screws being tightened, the wheat and the chaff being divided, the bold churches from the passive churches, now you're seeing I believe personally maybe that's one of the reasons God allowed this current administration versus the last one, is just to humble the church even more.
Yeah.
Because we're not, where are the packed prayer meetings? Where are the packed churches? Where are people crying out for more of God, right? We're not there yet. We're mad, but we're not humble. We're upset, but we're not broken.
Right.
And we're very arrogant and proud, but not very humble. And so I think God's in the breaking process personally right now.
I think that's right. I think you're right about that. It strikes me when I see all these articles every single day, and I know you see these too, Shane, where people are talking about what needs to be done to get out of this terrible situation we're all in as a nation. I almost never hear somebody say what you're saying, which is we need to cry out to the Lord. And, you know, obviously lost people aren't necessarily going to suggest that as a solution, but Christians ought to be doing that. I don't even see a whole lot of Christians doing that, which is shocking to me.
Well, then that's probably the last year and a half I've been kind of banging that same drum, that our only hope right now, our only hope, I have no hope in 2022, 2024. If one election was rigged, they'll rig more.
Yep.
I mean, it's my only hope is in a spiritual awakening when God rends the heavens and He comes down because He hears the cries of His children.
Yes.
That's the only option on the table.
Yes.
And why more people aren't doing that, you know, I don't really know. But I am encouraged. Every Sunday morning at 6 a.m., we open the doors. There's between 60 to 100 people that come at the 6 a.m., We just have worship on for an hour and a half.
That's
and then we
amazing.
Go into our services, and then it's just instilling that hunger. And it'll show you, you mentioned, I forgot to comment on this, but you can gauge spiritual hunger. How hungry are we for the things of God? Mm-hmm. And it appears not very hungry.
Yeah.
And we're not, that appetite hasn't switched yet.
But it does strike me when you're talking about getting together every day, as you mentioned, next week and opening your doors and you have prayer meetings and people are hungry for the things of the Lord. That's how every great revival began. And you know that. I know you know that because we've talked before about awakening. But every church ought to be doing this. And I wonder if you see what is happening in your congregation as something that may spread to other congregations as a result.
Yeah, I do, and I don't know the church names offhand, but I've got friends in Tennessee and Kansas City, Florida, Texas, there where you're at, and there is a remnant that is absolutely being awakened. So I'm very encouraged, and I'm actually, I know I talk kind of, you know, hard sometimes, people, oh, it's such a Debbie Downer, but it's actually encouraging because we need a slap in the face sometimes. We need a wake-up call. We need to sound the alarm. Pastors are watchmen. We're not cheerleaders all the time. We're watchmen, we're coaches, and God plus you is the majority.
Amen.
And so God is looking for those. Start a prayer meeting with 1, 2, 3 people. God's in that more than He is the mega church down the street that has no fire in their pulpit and is living in carnality. So that's why I'm encouraged. God gave me that heart for revival. We've talked about this before. 20 years ago, I've read all the books on revival. I love From Welsh to Scotland to New Hebrides, and just there's a passion for that. And I don't think that's self-created. I think God gave me and many others that desire. So we will begin seeking and dare we say fasting. We've got so many people fasting right now at this church. It's amazing. And of course, that's not a magic wand or a special pill, but fasting is a really a starving of one appetite to have a greater appetite. And And that's, you know, too, that's prayer and fasting has been critical throughout church history.
Oh, absolutely. What are you seeing, Shane? You had identified some of those areas where your church and other churches in California and across the country to some degree are all struggling with the vaccine mandate issue and maybe vaccine passports down the road. The Biden administration has talked about the possibility of restricting interstate travel. So who knows if they'll try to come up with mandates for people who get on airplanes. Who knows where this is going to go? CRT, the LGBTQ plus movement, et cetera, et cetera. What do you think that Christians are going to have the most courage for in the future? What are you seeing coming down the pike that will require more courage from the church and not less?
Boy, that's going to have to make me think for a minute. Off the top of my head, I think that we have to kind of hit all these issues head on. I think we have to stand up for those losing their job, but at the same time stand up for the false theology coming into the church, at the same time the critical race theory being pushed down our throats. And it's kind of that holding the line, you know, God just, interesting. God says, I'll fight the battle. You just hold the line.
Amen.
And there, people are crying out for God. Believe it or not, Wednesday night after the message, just open the altar. People couldn't even get to the altar because it was already full.
Wow.
And so that hunger is encouraging because God sees that. Is that the cries of my children? Is that the hearts crying out to me? Seek, because if you seek him, you will find him. I hold that promise true. So I think we have to hold the line on all fronts. But obviously, if everything is a priority, nothing is.
Mm-hmm.
So my thought is the abortion and the theology, the inerrancy of Scripture and twisting God's word and false gospels coming in and CRT. And, you know, I guess that would be the foundational core.
Yep.
And then from that, we can also push against the mandates and the different things trying to creep in.
Yeah. But the battle is the Lord's. And we got to keep
Absolutely.
That in mind, as you say. Really briefly, Shane, because I know we're going to run out of time here in a few seconds, but you say full surrender is the key ingredient that most Christians are missing. That goes back to the basics, doesn't it?
It does, and I want to clarify, that doesn't mean perfection.
Right.
You know, some people think, I have to be perfect. No, I'm talking about, Lord, I give you my finances, I give you my time, I give you my children, I give you my fear, I give you my doubts. Lord, I just give you everything. I'm emptied completely, and then watch out, because here comes the filling of the Holy Spirit. Now there's a vessel I can use. Now this person is teachable and moldable, and the humble I will direct. The humble, if my people humble themselves and pray. And so I think it's just a matter of just giving God everything and saying, Lord, how do you want to use me? Then he can use you. But the Holy Spirit never fills you powerfully to do your own agenda.
That's
or
right.
To do your own will.
Very good. Well, ShaneEidelman.com is the website, The Battle for Courage, A Hill to Die On. Always great to visit with you, Shane. God bless you and keep pressing on for the Lord. It was great to talk to you again.
And your program is very encouraging for us, so keep it up.
All right. You got it. God bless you. Shane Eidelman.
Touch my lips, here I am.
If you've enjoyed this episode of Eidelman Unplugged, be sure to send us your ideas and topics for future episodes of the podcast. You can send us an email at westsidechristianfellowship.org or shaneeidelman.com. Again, my name is Luke Duncan, and I am your host of Eidelman Unplugged. Thank you for listening to us today, and join us again on the next episode.
Thank you for listening to Eidelman Unplugged. For more information, visit us at ShaneEidelman.com. Again, that's ShaneEidelman.com.
This podcast is part of the Edify Podcast Network. Edify is a faith-inspiring app that brings together thousands of the best Christian podcasts in one place for your listening enjoyment. Cut through the noise and grow your faith by diving into the world's top Christian podcasts today. Download the Edify app for free from the App Store or Google Play, or by going to edify.app. That's EDIFI.app.
El Paseo Publications proudly supports the Westside Christian Fellowship Radio Network. We are committed to quality in Christian publication. Free ebooks can be found at westsidechristianfellowship.org under free ebooks. Books such as What Works for Men and What Works for Young Adults will help readers understand that the obstacles ahead are never greater than God's power to take you through. Books such as What Works When Diets Don't and Feasting and Fasting demonstrate how health can be achieved from a biblical perspective. Other free books such as answers for a confused church and desperate for more of God show the importance of fully surrendering our lives to Christ. And One Nation Above God is a must-read for anyone concerned about the direction of America. Again, free downloads of these ebooks are available at westsidechristianfellowship.org. We are happy about partnering with the Westside Christian Fellowship Radio Network.